Thanks, Chris, and welcome to another Podcast Pal Droid. My name is Russell, and I am with, in Cardiff,
Gareth.
And via Skype in Innsbruck in Austria is...
Leon.
Also, off the back of that Sam Ricketts tweet, our most popular tweet ever, brackets that wasn't giving a shirt away, and brackets, inspired a discussion online about players that played non-league in England, non-English league, so not, you know, Welsh Premier League, League of Wales, and also represented as international, because, of course, Ricketts played for Telford. Before he got transferred then to
Swans.
And then he went on to be capped. Touched on it earlier about when his debut in Toshack's first game.
Yeah.
Of his second spell, yes, yeah, hash in brackets again. In which one cap won to Stephen Roberts, also in his only cap. So, other players that played non-league and international. And are we saying international and then drifted into non-league? Are we sort of saying had a spell at non-league during the start of their career, then went on to win caps?
Yeah, I think so. You can't talk about players who were capped and then finish off their career in non-league. There's so many players who do that, and that's just a sign of ageing and not being quite able to cut anymore. I think it's such an unusual route, especially in modern football now, to kind of make that big jump up from non-league, because the big clubs pick up so many youngsters, and to make a big leap upwards like that, it's a really terrific achievement, and there's not that many players in the fairly modern era who've done that.
Well, I'm going to chuck one at you. If we think of this notionally as sort of like possibly an 11, and a lot of people don't realise this, but in number one is Big Nev. And for me, the greatest goalkeeper I've seen, even now. And there is probably an element of bias in that, because I mean Schmeichel was pretty good, and the player that Nev thought was the best goalkeeper around at the time in Rinat Dasaev of the Soviet Union, and there's been plenty of decent keepers. Buffon, Neuer, all those players. But for me, Big Nev was the greatest. And he played for Winsford. He also played in Wales for Bangor, Llandinam Swifts. And before he signed for Bury, and people think of him obviously as just an Everton legend and playing hundreds and hundreds of games for Everton. But he played for Bury. But before he played for Bury, he played for Winsford. So to be fair to Big Nev, not only was he a binman, but he also sort of served his time in the lower reaches of the game.
He finished at non-league Torquay, I think, as well, didn't he?
Yeah,
so he bookended.
Yeah,
his career in the non-league, because he carried on playing into his 40s, until he was sort of about 30 stone or so.
it's a really strong start, and that must be, there can't be a better example, certainly not a better Welsh example, of such an elite player, such a high-level player, you know, like you say, the best goalkeeper in the world at that time, coming from non-league and going back to non-league.
Absolutely extraordinary, really.
It is.
The Neville Southall story. I read his book, Bin Man Chronicles, which I really recommend. Wrote a short review for the blog about it. A time when he was playing, I don't know who he was playing for, but he was sharing a train journey back to Llandudno, where he was from, with Joey Jones' dad. Joey from Llandudno as well. They sort of grew up together to an extent. And Joey's dad was saying to Southall, yeah, keep going, Nev. We all believe in you. You're going to make it as a pro one day. And according to Southall, that was the first time he'd ever considered that he would actually become a professional footballer. He just, you know, played because he loved it. But he had no sort of notion of the idea that he would become a full-time pro. It just seems extraordinary for someone as talented as he was.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I mean, he's very... Yeah, as you said, he didn't seem to register or be on his radar that he would turn into, not just to be a professional footballer, but turn out to be, you know, the best, again, for me personally, the best goalkeeper of his generation and a bit more than that. Yeah. In the 80s, there were a lot of good keepers around.
Yeah.
You know, there were a lot in the UK, in the British Isles. You know, you think, you know, Jennings was still playing, you know, you had Shilton still playing, you know the likes of Alan Ruff, Jim Leighton was a top keeper for Scotland. So you know he had a lot of good goalkeepers around, many of them from North Wales, obviously, as we've already touched on in the past. So yeah,
so if Big Nev is number one, that would relegate Danny Ward maybe to sub keeper, because he had a game at least. Was it just the one game on loan at Tamworth, I think, when he was. Just starting out?
He didn't play for Wrexham, even though he came through the Wrexham youth ranks. But transferred to Liverpool before even making a first team appearance. But yeah, I think he was loaned to Tamworth a couple of years ago.
Yeah, 2011. I think so. It's going
quite a little bit.
Okay. Because he's played other loan moves since he's been at Liverpool, hasn't he? But I think just the one game, I think, is all he played. But it's enough. But not enough, presumably, to dislodge Big Nav.
Gets you in there. No, it's going to take a lot to dislodge Big Nav.
Absolutely.
In more ways than one, I'm sure.
Fair play to Danny Ward. I've got to say, I mean, it was the game against Slovakia and Bordeaux as for you, Russ, and I was just metres away from him in the first half because I was only three rows up. And what a game to mark your first Wales start in. Extraordinary, really.
Yeah, no, indeed. And I think that's probably one for a podcast in 10 years' time when we look back at all these tournament... Tournament appearances, how many people made their full debut in a tournament.
Yeah. I'm going to be looking forward to how indifferent we are about Euro 2016 by then.
Yeah, because Norman Whiteside made his international debut at the 82 World Cup. Because I knew he was for a while the youngest, may even still be the youngest player to play at World Cup. But I didn't realise it was his international debut.
No, I didn't.
Wow,
yeah.
In 82,
yeah.
He was 16, yeah.
Yeah. But this isn't about Northern Ireland. So I think we've probably got to honourably put in Ricketts, because without him we wouldn't have a very, 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 very popular tweet. Ricketts also, though, represented England at England sea level. So for that, you know, podcast a bit further down the line about players that represented other countries other than Wales, he qualifies on those grounds. Who else have we got?
A fullback. Well, the last player to play for Wales whilst playing non-league football or being signed to a non-league club was who?
I saw this before. I think it's been on our Twitter thing, isn't it? Is it Neil Taylor?
It is.
Yeah. Because it's not Steve Evans.
It's not Steve Evans, as many people think. Neil Taylor was still a Wrexham player when he made his debut against Croatia in 2010. Moved to Swansea about 2 weeks later, I think, in the Championship.
It counts.
Neil Taylor, the last non-league player to play for Wales.
And also the last non-league player to score a tournament as well for Wales.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Unless... No, Robson Carno hasn't played non-league, has he?
No, I don't think so. No. I come across him if he has. No.
So, honourable mention, sorry, for goalkeepers, Paul Jones. Paul Jones served a lot of his sort of early career. I know Kidderminster were kind of in and out of the league a little bit, but he had, you know, well over 300 appearances in all competitions for Kidderminster Harriers. And of course, he didn't get a cap until after his 31st birthday.
Against Scotland in 97, I think it was.
So 50 caps he ended on, all of them gained in his 30s, and possibly into his 40s, I don't know. So yeah, just an sort of honourable mention for him as well.
Yeah, another really good North Wellian goalkeeper as well, yeah.
With links, I think, to Shropshire as well?
I'm not quite sure. I think he was born in Chirk, which is right on the border, about 7 miles or so from where I grew up. I'm not sure if he sort of grew up on the English or the Welsh side. Not quite sure.
You mean you haven't read his autobiography? I don't know if there is an autobiography for Paul Jones. Okay, here's another fullback for you, Darren Barnard. Does he qualify? Well, he was. I think he was still at. I want to say Grimsby, but I'm not sure whether they had dropped into non-league.
I think they were still in the league when he played. Right. I don't think Barnard. Might be wrong. I don't think Barnard played for Wales as a non-league footballer. I think his non-league appearances came after his Wales career finished.
No, I am right.
I could be wrong.
I am right. He played for Wokingham Town. Yeah, so he's in there. He's in there, but for the wrong reason.
Right.
So I stand corrected. But he had a season at Wokingham Town before he signed then for Chelsea, which I don't remember.
Gosh, did he? No, I can't remember. I can't remember anything about him before Barnsley was in the
league. See, this is why I love Wikipedia, because I've now discovered that Wokingham Town's nickname is the Satsumas. Not the Tangerines, because that would be Dundee United. But the Satsumas.
You've got quite a wealth of options at fullback then for this this team.
We do.
Barnard and Taylor and Ricketts.
But before we pursue those, I'm now wondering whether there's a club we've got the nickname the Clementines, so that we can have the whole
like
kind of
Citrus
small
Derby.
Citrus Derby, Dundee United versus Wokingham Town. or a triangular tournament against the Clementines.
That would be wonderful.
So there we go. There's your task. Hmm. Yeah, we do. We have some choice of fullback.
Danny Collins, fullback, centre back. He'd be a possibility. Not that I'm desperate to see him in a Welsh shirt again, even an imaginary one. But he had a fair old shift at Chester City before they were promoted back to the Football League. He also went from them out on loan for Vauxhall Motors. He played nearly 100 games of non-league football before he went to Sunderland.
So he'd been with Darren Ward in the team of internationals who were loaned from one non-league side to an even inferior non-league side.
And went on to play for Wales. And also he would, like Ricketts, be a player who'd also played for England C or England sort of non-league team prior to going on to play for Wales.
There's better defenders we can find, though, isn't it, for an 11? Surely. I mean, I'd stick Steve Evans in there, frankly, ahead of that. Because Steve Evans, I mean, an extremely limited player, don't get me wrong, but he did the basics well. And we went out to Ireland that time under Toshack and put in a horrific performance. He was about the only player that basically did his job. So, I mean, the criticism that Toshack gets because he was picking Steve Evans, he often gets hit with that stick. I kind of think, well, it actually was an effective sort of selection on that basis, insofar as you pick your defender to kick it a long way, head it clear, stick the boot in, make the tackles. No one else was doing their basic job that day. So I always think that's slightly unfair.
Yeah.
And you kind of wonder whether with Steve Evans, whether actually if he maybe applied himself a little bit more, because we know there was a few instances where when he was getting caught in Wrexham Town Centre, urinating on things. But you wonder whether if he was guided a little bit more at a younger age, whether he might have turned into a slightly better player, because he did the basics well. And he's a hard, hard man. I met his brother once, and he's even harder.
Yeah.
They're quite a well-known family.
Yeah,
Wrexham,
Gypsy
blood, I think.
Yeah.
They're well-known for being a bit handy with the fists, let's say.
I will vouch for that. So I'm going to put Steve Evans in there, certainly ahead of Danny Collins. But I think there's one obvious one, isn't there, at centre-back? Or is it so obvious that you don't notice it?
Current player, our captain.
Ashley Williams.
Oh, Ash, of course.
Ashley Williams.
And he's often, talked about as one of the reasons why him, but also other players in the current team, are so grounded, are so sort of, I'm not sure if humble is the right word, but, have that, the recognition that they have about who they're representing and what they're playing for and all the rest of it, is because several of them serve their time at a very humble level of the game. And he played a lot of games.
Yeah, played for Hednesford, doesn't he? Yeah, and he's another one of those, I like Steve Evans in there because he played while he was actually, played for Wales while he was actually non-league. But, Ashley Williams is another one of those who, you feel like he earned his, he earned his professional football career.
Yeah.
He earned his moves up to international level. He had to do it the hard way. And it's just one of the many reasons for us to think he's a wonderful human being.
How many games did he play?
46 for Hednesford.
Oh, maybe not as many as I had in mind.
There's great stories with Ashley Williams as well. Like he was, because he grew up in the West Midlands. He worked as a waiter, and I think he worked at the petrol station where you'd like sometimes serve top flight footballers playing for Aston Villa and West Brom and stuff. And he was playing for Hensford Town at the weekend, and then putting petrol in Olaf Malberg's car on the Monday or something. And it just seemed like that world of top flight international footballers was a million miles away. But, through determination and, grit, belief and, and ability as well, he made it there the long way round. But, what a player he is. Just an absolutely fantastic captain he's been for Wales.
Oh, you're here. I mean, can't add any more to that. Who signed him at Swansea?
2008.
Is that Jacket?
I think it was Martinez, is it?
I thought so, yeah.
Because he signed on loan, didn't he, initially? And then he made his debut immediately, almost after he signed for the Swans under Toshack. And then he signed sort of permanently then, I think, at the end of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he sort of came out of nowhere, wasn't it? And it's great, isn't it? Because Brian Flynn spots the surname. He goes to watch Hennessy at Stockport, who's on loan at Stockport. He spots the surname, inquires, but it's not through the paternal side, it's through the maternal side, isn't it? So it's kind of nothing to do with the surname. that his qualification it turns out to be
valid. Yeah, his grandfather is Roland, Bill Roland, yeah. I think.
From the Rhondda.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Real coincidence, serendipity. Flynn was there at that game and he would sort of chase up every single lead. I mean, the amount of work that Brian Flynn put into to kind of finding these players, you know, Robson Carney being another one, through sheer chance. He was at Reading's training ground one day just to have a word with Simon Church, and someone sort of made a joke about Robson Carney qualifying for Wales because he goes there on holiday or something, and Flynn just sort of, you know, had a chat with Carney, with Robson Carney, and found out actually, yeah, he did have a Welsh grandmother. You know, it's pretty extraordinary, really.
So who else are we putting in there?
Well, that's the defence taken care of, is there? Is anyone we've missed out?
We've got Barnard left back.
Or Taylor at left back.
Or Taylor. We've got Ricketts right back, covering left back.
And we've got Evans and Evans and Ash.
Evans and Ash.
Danny Collins if we get a lot of injuries.
We've got a squad here, not an 11. We've got a squad. Yeah. Three goalkeepers, Southall, Jones and Ward.
Yeah.
Okay, should we take it into midfield then?
I think so.
And again, one that people don't tend to realise is Joe Allen.
Yes.
It was only on loan though, wasn't it?
Yeah, loan camp, surely. We setting the parameters even tighter than that.
I think it's within the parameters, but I think it's less credit worthy to be a kind of up and coming young star to have a couple of games out on loan and non league before kind of carrying on your career trajectory. Is, you know, it's good. And credit to him.
Okay,
it's not an Ashley Williams story, is it? But he counts because otherwise you might not have enough players.
He did score an absolute blinding 30 yarder though in one of his two appearances, I think. Mm-hmm. Two or three appearances for Wrexham. Okay, well,
yeah, against York City, Neil Taylor also scored in that game, which is one of the last game he scored in before scoring against Russia in the European Championships was a conference game. But he used to get a few goals for Wrexham, Neil Taylor, so I'm sort of surprised he's still not managed to score even once for Swansea actually. But yeah, Joe Allen came in and made a real impact. Unfortunately, he got injured, so didn't play too many games. But in the couple of games that he did play, you could see he was a real player. He's very kind of highly thought of by Wrexham fans even now, just because of those couple of appearances he made as a teenager.
And he'd have been there a bit longer, wouldn't he? Didn't he damage his ankle or a bad injury?
Yeah, it was injury.
Sent back after
I think
that.
So, yeah.
Okay, so if we're going to be a pedant and Allen isn't going to count, although I would suggest he does, Dave Edwards then?
Yeah.
Of the current crop?
Yeah, was that for Shrewsbury Town in the conference or were they in League 2 at the time?
He played 16 games during 2003-04 season, according to Wikipedia. And so yeah, that works. He made his debut the season earlier. They dropped out of the league, played his part in the conference, then played in League Two. So went back up into the Football League with them. Played League One and for Luton, Championship for Wolves, and Premier League. So he's played League One, League Two, Championship, Premier League, and Conference.
Good stuff.
So there we go. There's another one, isn't there?
Yeah.
Podcast internationals who've played all divisions of the Football League and the Conference.
I think so.
Danny Collins case.
Can't be too many, really. I wouldn't have thought. Just shows that's, you know, a professional footballer for you, isn't it? You'd think he'd probably admit himself that he's not got the greatest technical ability in the world, but just makes up for it through work rate, determination, heart, you know, intelligence, ability to play in different positions as well, sort of tactical knowledge. And that, all of that sort of makes up really for the fact that he doesn't have the greatest touch. But I'm a big fan, and I think most Wales fans are very much appreciative of what Dave Edwards brings to the table.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, I agree.
The option in the centre of midfield didn't quite make the One Cap Wonders podcast. But Gavin Williams, although maybe not as high profile as the guys we mentioned, he played something like 260 non-league games. If I'm right in thinking that his games at Yeovil back in 2002 to 2004 would have been non-league, I think they probably would have been out of the Football League at that point. That's 260 odd games before he gets a move to West Ham in 2004, and he played for a Welsh semi-pro team three times in 2002 before he got his couple of caps just a couple of years later after he'd moved on to West Ham. So he would qualify.
I've got another for midfield, a guy who was captain for a lot for Wales. And during the era under Terry Yoros' management, he was a non-league player. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I was going to say Barry Horn, but did he play?
Barry Horn?
Yeah.
Barry Horn played for Real. When Real were in the English system, not in the Welsh system, so he counts, doesn't he?
That counts, yeah.
So he didn't actually turn pro until he was quite far into his 20s with Wrexham, because he'd done a degree at Liverpool John Moores University, chemistry, I think. He's a science teacher now, really intelligent bloke. But yeah, he played part-time football for Real in his late teens and into his early 20s, I think.
Again, and it's one of those players, you know, people kind of have him in their consciousness. He's on their radar, isn't he? Because he's had so many caps and he played in that, you know, that quite kind of high-profile, iconic Yorath era, narrowly missing out on tournaments. But again, another one that started fairly at a fairly humble level, I suppose. Yeah,
59 caps for Wales.
Yeah.
Which, bizarrely, is the same number of caps that Terry Yorath and Kevin Ratcliffe, also long-term Wales captains, won as well.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah, captains, of course.
Yeah. He must have been, another player I came across, who I reckon maybe, if Horn was at Real, would have been there at the same time, would be, do you remember Andrew Holden? He's got one cap for Wales. And I think we missed him out of the one cap wonders list. But I think he played his only game for Wales really quite soon after coming out of non-league. When I came across the name, I only recognised it because I can remember having a football card of him.
From Ian Rush's hometown in Flint.
Yeah.
I've got another midfielder for you. Kind of, I don't know, technically he's in the current crop, only insofar as he gets the odd sort of random call-up from time to time, would be Andrew Crofts. Because he, albeit on loan, and, you know, he might be a bit sniffy about this one, but he went to Wrexham as well, didn't he? And had some games.
Yeah.
Yeah, in 2009.
Under Dean Saunders, but didn't make much of an impact. Which is strange, because he's actually had some decent games for Wales. So he had a spell under Gary Speed where he played really well and looked at home at international level. But he hardly made any impression at all when he came down to Wrexham in the conference, so... It's bizarre, some players sort of seem to shine at a higher level and find it difficult to kind of make an impression when they're at that lower level. And Crofts was maybe one of those.
Would he be one then? He played for Wales then, either side of a spell in non-league football? Because he, Wrexham loans in 2009. And he was at Gillingham then.
He started for Wales by that point.
And he definitely started his first caps in 2005. But he's certainly played more recently. He came on in that Northern Ireland friendly, bit of a cameo, presumably to end his international career. So yeah, he must be the only one who's played non-league football in between two Welsh, in the middle of his Welsh international career.
That's a very good. Yeah, possibly.
I bet there's players who've played non-league football either end and played for Wales in the middle, but he's done the opposite.
Good spot. Good spot, his badge. You got anyone else, Leon?
In midfield?
Yeah.
Are we moving on to strikers? I can't think of any more midfielders off the top of my head.
I've got one. He's not so much a midfielder, but he played more... He did play on the wing. He did play up front as well. Would be Paul Parry. If you remember?
Yeah, he played for Hereford United, didn't he?
Yeah, and he had that brilliant sort of season where he'd scored, you know, quite a few goals for Hereford by about the Christmas, signed for Cardiff.
Okay, it was virtually straight in the team, wasn't it?
Then went straight into the Wales team. I think made his debut, against Scotland in the 4-0. And then by the end of that season, he notched his first international goal against Canada, I think. Up at the racecourse?
At the racecourse.
Yeah.
I think Hereford had a really good cup run while he was there, and I think they might have knocked Wrexham out in the first or second round and drawn a game against Leicester, took them to a replay, and I think he really impressed in that game. So it wasn't sort of a secret that there was this decent player knocking around in the conference, but Cardiff were the ones, fair play to them, that sort of took a chance and gave him a shot in league football. Yeah, he did well for Cardiff for a while. I thought that around that time that they got to the cup final, he was one of their first choice players, wasn't he?
Yeah. Also played for the semi-pro side, so there's another one, isn't there? An 11 who've played semi-pro and full international. I suppose it's fair to say his Wales career ended under a bit of a cloud. And he played for 4 years, 12 caps in sort of like a 3.5-4 year period, which means he was sort of in and out, yeah, and got the odd cap here, got the odd cap there. Never added to his tally after that Canada goal. He runs an estate agency around the corner from my house, actually, now. So there we go. That's a podcast. I think that's for, like, you know, when there's...
Better be careful what we say about him then, I guess.
No? Yeah, we're not looking to move just yet.
Is that the podcast where we've jumped the shark, when we do the post-football careers of former Welsh internationals? Maybe we could invite a few of them in to come and talk about being an estate agent or whatever.
Or a hairdresser, in Gavin Maguire's case. Yeah. We're going to be jumping the shark at some point. It's going to have to happen. I'll chuck Paul Parry in there. Because what a brilliant season to have for a player. A ton of goals. Moved to a professional club. Takes to it like a duck to water. International caps within a matter of weeks. And also notching an international goal. So yeah, and I live in the dream as an estate agent in Llandaff North.
Yeah.
Okay, who have we got up front then?
Right, well, indulge me, because I don't know if you've noticed, I'm a little bit obsessed with the Welsh international who has the same name as me. But Gareth Taylor, in his early days at Bristol Rovers, so he's a bit of a Joe Allen one, this, a kind of brief loan spell, start of a league career. But he did play 2 games on loan at Gloucester City and 5 games on loan at Weymouth in the 91-92 season before he went on to be a bit of a journeyman striker throughout the Championship and other divisions. And of course, goes on, not only is he gone and played for Wales, scores for Wales, he scores the other goal in Earnshaw's game, where Earnshaw got his hat-trick against Scotland. It was a good trivia one, who scored the fourth goal in that game.
And bookended his career by finishing off in the conference with Wrexham.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, Gareth Taylor. If you want the sort of traditional target man striker, I'd rather go for Taylor. Not that he ever did a huge amount for Wales, let's be perfectly honest, but you'd pick him ahead of Steve Morrison, surely, or not?
Steve Morrison had he's more capped, isn't he? He's had quite a more substantial Welsh career, perhaps without any kind of real benefit to it, but he's had a more substantial Welsh career than Taylor did, I think.
20 caps?
I'm just going to defend Steve Morrison a bit here. I mean, 1 goal in 20 caps, on the face of it, is a poor record, but that 1 goal he scored was a really important one, because we were... Gary Speed, I think we'd lost 4 out of 5 of his first 5 games. We managed to beat a Northern Ireland B team. And so he was under real pressure going to that game against Montenegro. And we really needed to win that game, or Gary Speed would have been in big trouble. And that was a poor win, and he scored the opening goal of the game. And he had a little spell then, after that, where he played really well for Wales. He set up Bale for the second goal against Switzerland with a lovely little reverse pass. That was a really good win, which I think is sort of quite underrated amongst Welsh fans as well, because we hadn't beaten Switzerland for a long, long time before that game. And he played pretty well against England at Wembley, actually. He gave John Terry a tough match, I remember. So I think Steve Morrison did all right for a spell, but it was just that, short spell. But it was a quite important period, I think, for the development of this team, because we finally put a few wins together in a short space of time.
As now, we were very limited in what we had up front. We were looking for someone of any kind of standard to come in and be that sort of central point of the attack. This is going back a little bit before Gareth Bale's playing that sort of role where he can be this kind of every man up front. Sam Vokes is either injured or he's only just kind of coming through. And although we maybe still had Bellamy in that period, Morrison was the best of, again, of a little bit like we got now, I suppose, the best of quite a limited bunch of players. Let's not forget he was actually... he always strikes me as a player who was... played a fair bit of his career, a little bit above his level. He played a decent season with Norwich, didn't he, in the Premier League? And you wouldn't ever have thought of him as a Premier League footballer, really. But I'm pretty sure he had a season where he was there and in and around their first team for most of that season.
He scored 8 or 9 goals in the Premier League that season at Norwich. We're in the EPL.
And we praised Dave Edwards for playing in every division of the Football League and the Conference. And I think Morrison is there or thereabouts with that. Started off at Northampton, it's with Bishop Stortford and then Stevenage Borough that the bulk of his non-league appearances were made, and there's quite a few of them, to be fair. So again, you know, in similar vein to Ashley Williams, you know, served his time at that level.
Yeah, well, he's 27 before he makes it his international like debut, I think.
Yeah. Qualifies via his grandmother from Ebervale, according to Wikipedia. He's not the most mobile, though, or quickest of forward lines for Garrity and Steve Morrison. So, come on, I think we need someone else.
I'm struggling for anyone else in there.
Well, I've got one for you, because this is a really good story as well, and I've got an old programme from 1987 when Wales played Czechoslovakia at a race course, and a few weeks before that, a guy called Andy Jones had scored, in fact, on his debut against Finland in a 4-0 win. He was at Port Vale at the time, but a couple of years earlier, he was playing alongside Ian Rush's brother Stefan for Real, and... And by 87, he was playing alongside Ian Rush because Mark Hughes was out suspended in a game for Wales against Finland. He won 6 caps, only scored that one goal on his debut. But he was kind of seen as the sort of main backup striker for Rush and Hughes for a little while. And then later, around that period, Dean Saunders really emerged as well. So that kind of killed his international career. But he was highly thought of at Port Vale. He scored a lot of goals. Apparently, Alex Ferguson was looking at him as being an early signing for Manchester United. He actually went to Charlton and didn't do very much. But yeah, it's a great story that he was playing alongside Ian Rush's brother, and then a couple of years later, alongside Rush himself.
Yeah, but I mean, it must be tough being a striker at that sort of time, knowing that you've got, you know, Rush ahead of you, Hughes ahead of you, Saunders ahead of you. Because you're talking, you know, amongst...
Well, see, Saunders hadn't really kind of emerged yet.
Well, yeah, okay,
A really top player. He was released by Swansea, I think, and had to really work his way back up. I mean, he played non-league, but he played for some small clubs before he really sort of blossomed in the early 90s. But it took a little while with Dean Saunders. He wasn't like, you know, not like... Russian Hughes, who kind of burst onto the scene in their late teens, really, or age 20-ish, at big club. Yeah,
it's a fair point in relation to Saunders and Andy Jones. But like what we were talking before we started, like the likes of someone like Sean McCarthy in the early 90s, you know, clearly Saunders has established himself by that point. Or someone like Carl Griffiths.
Yeah.
You know, for those players, that's a, you know, you're going to struggle to get anything more. You know, and even then, probably what. After Hughes, Rush, Saunders, fourth cab off that rank, early 90s, probably Malcolm Allen. Mm. You know, Ewan Roberts is breaking through. So, you know, it's probably tough to get sort of noticed. You had Carl Dale knocking in the goals for Cardiff, a couple of call-ups, but never a cap. So, yeah, difficult to sort of break, you know, to break through when you got, you know, top strikers. Anyone else we got?
I've done a little bit of searching around. A future possibility might be Wes Burns. If we were able to cap Wes Burns, he's had a period in non-league, only a brief one, on loan at Forest Green Rovers. He's off on loan at Aberdeen now, isn't he? So I don't know if we'd like to see him in and around the squad again anytime soon. But no, I think we have a lack of striking options for our former non-league team of Welsh internationals.
So there we go. So our most capped player of all time served his time in non-league.
Ooh, that's very honourable in that.
It is, yeah.
I'm trying to think, I mean, there must be more strikers as well. I mean, you'd think. Having said that, I can't think of any more. But I was going to say Bradshaw, but I guess Shrewsbury were in League Two when he broke through.
I'm not too sure on that one.
I can't think of any others.
Not too sure on that one.
We've got about enough for a team there, though, haven't we? I think it wouldn't be the kind of, it wouldn't be one of the greatest Welsh teams of all time, but it'd be the sort of team that would do a decent job in a hastily arranged post-season friendly somewhere, wouldn't it? You know, you'd take that on tour to the Caribbean somewhere, or to Australasia, and hope to pick up a 1-0 win.
Yeah. You probably weren't far off doing that, Natasha, really, let's be honest. You know, uncapped games against the Basque 11, yeah. Poland on a holiday, Butlins camp in Portugal, yeah. Trinidad in Austria, random fixtures. I mean,
it's got a good spine and limited options up front, so it's a very, very Welsh international football team, isn't it?
Yeah.
Neville Southall might have to pull off a few saves, but he did that enough times, didn't he?
Indeed he did. I'm trying to think. What about George Williams played non-league?
I don't know. I don't think so, because he was very young making his debut at Fulham, wasn't he? And then he's had little roams in the Football League. But I think, wasn't he 17 the first time he played for Fulham? I can think of him going to League One on loan. He's been to MK Dons, hasn't he, and Gillingham. But no, I can't find anything to suggest he's been a non-league footballer.
Can I finish with a bit of not so much a curveball as such, but one that I think you might want to consider throwing in the central defence?
Yeah.
Just for sheer cult hero value, Eric Young.
Oh, yeah. I love Eric Young.
Who doesn't love Eric Young? He had a season, he had a season at Southall, I think that might be pronounced, and he also played for 3 years at Slough Town before transferring to Brighton. And had 23 goals in those 3 years at Slough Town. That's not bad for a centre half, isn't it?
I think Eric Young was 30 before he played for Wales in 1990. Yeah. And then he had his best spell, really. Even though he'd won the FA Cup with Wimbledon, he had a great spell then at Crystal Palace in the early 90s when he was in his 30s. So he was a real late bloomer.
Yeah, I loved hearing in that, I don't know if you've seen, they did a documentary. It was on BT Sport about the Wimbledon, that kind of Wimbledon team that won the FA Cup. And the only former player who they couldn't seem to track down was Eric Young. And they seemed to be kind of asking the players. They didn't seem to know very much about him either. He seemed to just kind of disappear at the end of training and not really bother much with the rest of the players and the rest of the team.
But that's what Neville Southall had a reputation for doing as well, wasn't it? Didn't really want to mix.
Yeah.
I mean, is this more pointless? Are these more pointless than the one we did before about non-Welsh born players? No.
We'll put it out there on Twitter, and if not, we can think of more pointless ways. we haven't even scratched the surface of how pointless we can get about Welsh football, I don't think.
No, I mean, the thing is, my reply to that guy was something like, I'm sorry this pointless podcast isn't as essential as all those other podcasts that have been a key part of the human experience for centuries now. Truth is, pretty much all podcasts are pointless, but hopefully interesting for some people at least, and fun to do.
And if no one else likes it, then tough, because I've had a good night talking about it all.
Oh, absolutely.
So anyway, thank you very much, fellas. It's actually quite late now, so I'll let you crack on, and I'll leave you to go and bone up on players that have played for Wales and another country. And there's a few that we've mentioned there, isn't it? So Steve Morrison.
Yeah.
Ricketts. There's a couple there. So until next time, thank you very much, Dio.
Cheers.